thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So far, God's word for us this morning. I want you to think about that grand day when Jesus came in to Jerusalem. The day that people stood around milling and waiting for the gates to be opened. They're waving palm branches. They have blankets and cloaks that they're going to place on the road because the King, the mighty King, is coming. And he's coming here to Jerusalem. We're going to open those gates for him so he can ride right in. And he comes on the colt, the foal of a donkey. Not some great, mighty horse that was thought about. He wasn't coming as a white knight on the horse. He was coming as the Redeemer, as the Lord, as the one who would sacrifice himself just a few days later for the sins of the world, for your sins, for my sins. Open the gates for the King. The King is coming. And we stand there. We stand there at the gates. We stand there with troubled hearts and painful lives. We stand there as broken people, not just of sin, but because of other things that are happening. Whether it's a shattering of a relationship, or if it's a broken bone or a broken heart, or something else that needs surgery, we stand there. We're waving on palm branches. We're waiting for the King, for the one to come and to heal our very lives. Now, as you place yourself there in front of the gates, I want you to think about the first century world. It was no different than us, because the first century world loved a winner. We love a winner. We love someone who wins, whether it's at a skating race, or a cross-country race, or hockey game. Yeah, I'm pretty pumped up today because the UMD Bulldogs won the national championship last night. That's pretty good, you know that? We kind of talk about that. We like celebrations. We like to lift our voices up in response to winning and all of that. First century Roman world was no different. They liked a winner. They liked to see the conquest. They liked to see the Roman general coming, marching into town with the gates wide open, and he bringing behind him the loot of his victory, whether it be people in cages or those fine vessels, gold and silver vessels, and all those trinkets he liked to share. So the first century world is just like ours, loving that celebration. So those people that are milling around the front of the gates have this sort of feeling that Jesus is coming as the Redeemer, the Messiah. And you see, their thought of the Messiah was not anything what we think of a Messiah. They didn't think of Jesus coming to redeem them from their sins. They didn't think that Jesus was going to forgive them and give them eternal life. No, they were waiting for the conquest, the conquering hero, their hero.
that as he broke into Jerusalem, he would rid the land of the Roman rule. He, Jesus, would be the great conqueror in our sight. He's going to bring in utopia on earth. This is what they were celebrating. They didn't realize that the next day Jesus was going to cleanse the temple. And then on Monday, Thursday, that Thursday when the Passover was starting to be celebrated, that he would celebrate with his disciples and then be taken from his disciples in trial after trial after trial. And then on Good Friday, sacrifice himself for the people, their blood. Their mighty thought was that Jesus was this grand conquering hero. That he was going to take all those Romans out. And he was going to defeat them. That's what they saw as a celebration. But we see it in a different way. We see Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we see him by faith. The Apostle Paul says, we live by faith, not by sight. You ever think about that verse? You ever think about living by faith? When I say I've got some fears, people say, but Pastor, you got to have faith. Faith that the plane isn't going to descend and fall and burn apart when you get on it. You have to have that strong faith. Well, our spiritual lives are like this. One day we're up, the next day we're down. One day we're strong in the faith, the next day we're weak in the faith. That's why we need the Lord's Word in our hearts and our lives every single day. So we see Jesus by faith. We grab hold of that Savior Jesus, knowing what he's going to do for us. And the pain, the humiliation that he goes through, the questioning, and the people responding, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, be gone, get him out of our lives. And sometimes we've said that, because when Jesus comes into our lives, he challenges us. He challenges us to live by his servant mind. Did you listen to the epistle lesson? Have this attitude in yourselves as Christ Jesus. He humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself even before God the Father. Even though he's God and man, Jesus humbled himself before God. He followed all of what God the Father wanted him to do. Even though he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be my will, take this cup from me, but not my will, thy will be done. He struggled just like we struggle. We struggle in our lives. We struggle to put our faith in perspective. We struggle to live by that faith. We struggle as Christians, as those who are looking in the world. Did you know or did you read the headline that was taken in the last few days? That those who declare no religion are equal to the evangelicals and the Catholics? That's amazing. That's the world we live in. And that's where we have to put our faith in perspective, that we believe Jesus even though we don't see him. We believe that he sacrificed himself even when we weren't there to see what pain he went through. And it's all by faith. Faith when we come up to the altar rail and receive the body and blood of Jesus. Faith knowing that we will be in heaven with him when this life is over with. And you know, you are closer to your redemption than when you first walked through the door this morning. Each passing hour brings us closer, closer to Jesus, closer to living with him for all eternity. We get all these struggles, all the this pain, all this suffering, and we put it in proper perspective. As the psalmist says, fling wide the gates, open the doors so the kingdom of glory can come in. You have flung open those doors through your baptism. When the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, God claimed you and pulled you into his bosom, into his lap, that you are God's child, children of the Heavenly Father. Even though we suffer, even though we go through problems, we're God's child, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. God opens many doors. God closes those doors. But when he opens and closes those doors, he's always with us, no matter what happens. No matter where we go, no matter who we talk to, no matter what stress or strain or pressure we endure, God is there with us, playing wide the open gates so that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord mighty in battle against Jesus. Jesus won the battle at the cross and the grave, declaring to us that we have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. In Christ's holy name, amen.